Did you know that play can significantly change not only your life and happiness, but also the way you learn? Today on the show with me, I have Gökçe Seikan, and she is an incredibly aspiring architect who is now helping young kids learn the fundamentals of architecture as well. She has worked in cities like New York and Miami, and today she runs a business called Architect that works to help young aspiring architects or anyone who is interested in the idea of architecture learn the fundamentals through play. It's an incredible concept and something that I am really passionate about too. How do we incorporate play even as adults into our study routines in our everyday life? She shares with us her story of being a foreign architect and also a business owner, and how she is handling life, exams, becoming an architect, running a business, being a mother, all that good stuff. So please enjoy and welcome Gökçe. Hey everyone, welcome to Design, Create, Inspire. I am so excited for today's guest because Gökçe has been in my ARE world for a few years now, and she does some really incredible things professionally, helping inspiring the next generation of architects, and just very inspiring. So I'm really excited to finally have her on with me today. So good morning. Hello, Gökçe. How are you?
Hi, Brian. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So I want to start out just hearing a little bit about your story. All of us come from such different backgrounds when it comes to our path into architecture. So just what inspired you to want to be an architect and what that path looked like from however far back you want to take it?
Thanks for your invitation, by the way. I'm super excited. This is something first for me, and I'm like shaking. But what inspired me, like when I was 8 years old, I actually watched someone like building a little house, and it's really inspired me a lot. And I was always like hands-on, like a kid, just like building stuff. To be honest, I decided to be an architect when I was just 6 years old, 7 years old. I really remember it was really like back then. That's why I really respect kids. This has affected what I'm doing right now. And that's why I really believe if a kid's saying like, I want to be an architect, like most likely happens. And I came to US like 13 years ago. I'm originally from Istanbul, Turkey. I studied architecture and landscape architecture in at Istanbul Technical University. It was a long journey because, again, like everyone has different learning styles, and I had to study and work at the same time because I need to see things in practical life, like how things works. And that's why I study and work at the same time. So I had to like learn studying, like history. At the end of the college, I got stuck basically. I didn't want to go work, and I wanted to see the world a little bit, do different stuff. And I came to New York. My aim was just staying here for 6 months and go back. But everything started actually there. I started to work on sustainable design, and New York is, there's a lot of opportunity there. And if you're like open to learn and like work really hard, you can find things easily. This is what I believe. This is what my experience is so far.
I love that. I'm actually reading a book right now that talks a lot about discipline and the fact that genius or big goals and big achievements aren't necessarily just innate. It's not necessarily just something you're born with, but something that anyone can do through discipline or character. And I see that a lot in architecture. It's not necessarily that you're born as a prodigy architect, it's that you have the discipline and the character to stick with it and hit goals and pick yourself up when things aren't going that great, and all those sort of little nuances. And you, as a teacher, especially with kids, are able to help build those characters that then can help them be amazing architects. I think that's amazing. And then something you said that I never really put this together, but I really resonate with this, is that you learn well through that practical experience. And so you did that alongside school. I did the same. I was working while I was going to school, and I never really thought of it as the way to help me learn better and retain the information. But it's true that I really did better in school because I was working, because I was able to apply that knowledge. How were you able to figure that out? Was it something that you knew that you were like, oh, I need to do this because this is helping me learn? Or did it just, you just happened to do that and then it solidified information for you?
Actually, I knew it like from years ago because I start getting really hard time that struggle in my elementary school. Because my childhood till I was 7 years old, my grandma took care of me, and she was that person. Like a old, but like she knows everything in the practical life. She already knows everything in her genes. And my grandpa was a teacher, but he built his house and he know animals, he know human body, like everything. They had all these information. They were like books. And my grandma was like that too, but she couldn't even read and write. But I learned shape from the rocks that we found in the garden, or I learned colors from the vegetables, right? The pepper turns into green, red, all that stuff. And we had chickens, and in the morning I was go get the chicken. So she was sewing and teach me how to sew, how to cook. After that 7 years, when I started elementary school, when teacher draw like a square in the blackboard, I was like, what is this? Or like 2 + 2 = 4. I'm like, what am I gonna do with this? So it wasn't connected with the real life at all. And that was my journey started there. And I had to find a way for myself, like to learn everything. Like it was a second school at home. And it took 4 years. And then I had a really unsuccessful life, in elementary school. And that's why now I'm talking with my parents as well, that many of us don't look at it. I have a 7 years old daughter too. I see it with her. That's why architect is really important for me, because we experience math, science, biology, like everything in real life, because architecture has everything in it. So I already knew myself. And like when I was at the classroom and professors start talking about architectural materials, I need to kind of like touch it, and like see it. What's the difference between material like a metal or like clay and everything. So also my first internship, I think once I started, I saw like this is a really different life. What's going on? This was a curiosity too. So I arranged it and I did double major. I studied both departments, which is landscape and architecture, which doesn't have too much common classes. So it took like 8 7 years for me to finish the college, which is like a long journey, but the study at the same time. When I look now, I could do better. You don't have to really, study that long, but that's what I knew myself. So I think that was our first session with you. You were mentioning like just learn first how you learn stuff, know yourself better. So it's the first step, I think, of learning. So I knew myself already. That's why from the first class, like first year, I started to work on it.
It's huge because if you learn in a different way, like you're saying, you need that tactical experience or just audio or anything, and you're doing it a different way, you end up being so hard on yourself because you're trying what everyone else is doing and it's not working. And that's why traditional schooling, I can only speak for here in the US, but the traditional schooling here, like you're saying, you sit down, they draw a square on the board, and then you go from there. My daughter is the exact same way. She's 7 as well, and she can't sit down for very long and she needs movement. So she's been in Montessori school since she was little. And it has been the best thing ever for her because the teacher will send us pictures and she's like laying on the floor, working with these different materials and holding things. And sometimes she's upside down, but I know that it's helping her learn in a different way. If she had to sit at a desk and learn, she would never be able to do it. And I know she gets that from me and my husband because we're both that way. So it's helpful that we have that understanding of different way to learn so that we can give her more grace and different ways to learn. And I'm hoping that more schools and more people are understanding this so that we can break out. Because I myself thought through college that I was just not a good student. I was smart, but like not that smart because I wasn't getting A's. It was hard for me to concentrate. It was hard for me to, do much. I did well in algebra, but that was basically, the one class I did well in. But it was because of that. It was because I learned in a different way. And I didn't know that early on. And I didn't figure that out until I was studying for my architecture exams. And once I figured that out, it was a game changer. So it's so helpful that you figured that out early. So I want to hear a little bit more about what you do with the kids because I remember because you went through Mind Over ARE and then we followed each other on Instagram and I was seeing all these things you're doing and these little models and crafts and I'm like, This is incredible. I wish that I had this. We need to get one over here in San Diego, and it's called Architect, right? And can you just
Yes,
explain a little
architect.
bit what you do and what that program looks like and how you incorporate some of these concepts into it?
Yeah, sure. This morning, actually, I found a couple examples here. It's going to be much easier
Oh,
for me
perfect.
to explain. So one of the subjects is like history of architecture, right? And or like knowing architects. So my city has like really old. When you're walking in the street randomly in Istanbul, there is like you can see a building from 700 years ago randomly. It's
So
just
cool.
like a history. Yeah. So for example, here we have like these different design kits for our classes, because every kid has different interests, and some of them has like really like to see different buildings and shapes. So this is one of our models, and I like to combine subjects like fashion and architecture, math and architecture, like everything. So this is Brunelleschi, right? We are talking about like Italy, all these like dome. What's that cathedral in like Florence? Like why it's like so important, and how the dome works, geometry, math, and everything. And also, we talk about the architects a little bit. Then I want them to take all this information and design something else. Like, let's say it's an object. And in this class, it's about like fashion, dresses. So we have this doll. It's just keep changing its dresses. So this is for like
So cool. I
that
love
time
this
in
so
like
much.
Brunelleschi, for example. So that's that dome in Florence. And after that class, kids, like, I bet they never just forget the name of the architect, or like this building, or like how this dome works, why this is the biggest masonry dome in the world, and like stairs in it, because I have all other supportive materials in it. So it's basically playing, right? And like I'm doing this now for 11 years, and every class is different than previous because I learn from them. When they stop and look at me, like when there's a gap, I always judge myself, like why I can't teach right now. Like what's the gap here? So I always try to put like more like play, more stuff in it. Or like I edit those like little like scale bricks, and we created
Love that.
our own like scales, you know, like okay, that's a person, that's the top of the door, and like this is one story, and we have our like rulers. Or again, we have our like sticks and bricks that we literally build a frame house and build like real life. And we learn about like scale, proportion. Of course, during years, I added a lot of tools. It's like laser cutters, like regular paper cutters, 3D printers, 3D pens. And so we cut these like little people and big people. Like we are all working hands-on basically. And of course, like even they're 5 years old, they meet with laser cutters. They wait how they cut, they watch it, so they know it. So it's just not a pen and pencil. And one important thing, Brian, what I see, like I had to revise all my curriculum every year. And what I realized, I have nothing from 10 years ago because kids are changing so much. Their need, it's really a challenge right now to teach kids 10 years ago with couple pen, pencil, and we were doing like a lot of things. Now it's so hard to keep kids focused because of their tablet
Attention
lives,
spans.
technology. Yeah, exactly. I mean, not every parents are same, unfortunately, but like once they come, sometimes even 5 minutes is a challenge for them to focus on one thing.
Wow.
So all these years I had to come up with really creative ideas to keep them focused and all the time. So there's a lot of like kits and tools. And also you have to be very flexible. It's not like, okay, we are gonna design a bridge today. And they say, no, I don't wanna design a bridge. And I'm like, okay. So, and I'm like, okay, do you want to design a hat then? Oh, okay, hat is a good idea. But at the end, it's the same thing because you're trying to cross like something. And okay, I'm going to teach you through this. And at the end of the class, you're going to explain why we design a hat to the parents. And like, that's why they know what it is. So,
So for you,
again,
it's, I mean, that's so creative too, because you have to not only be evolving with the changing of the kids, but then day of as well, coming up with these different concepts, like you're saying, like the bridge and how the structure of the hat or the dome, and then that becoming a dress. I mean, that is just so creative in itself. It's almost like a, looks like it's like an art form. Like you're taking this architecture concept and bringing it into this art form, which is just so amazing. Like there's just so, people who go into architecture thinking there's only one right way to do architecture, it's just there's, you could go into so many different things. I think that's so beautiful.
Absolutely. You can do a lot of things. You can be a fashion designer. That's why I'm telling and trying to explain this. I'm not teaching architecture. We are experiencing a lot of things together because my biggest purpose is to support kids at school. It's their practical life. I met with a lot of homeschool moms during these years, and I learned a lot from them, creating those custom curriculums for the kids. That's why I really want to support the kids who has in this public school system right now, because there's 30 kids at the same classroom, as you said, and their desk, and there's only one teacher explaining in one way. And I experienced this from my daughter play at home. Now they are learning measuring in conversations, it's inches to the centimeters. It's already very complicated concept. But if you measure their height and try to see how many inches in your height and how many centimeters in your height, it's very real information, right? It's from the real life. It's not in books, workbooks anymore. So that's why my biggest purpose is I'm trying to show this to parents as well. Maybe if I was a doctor, I would do this through that way. It's just trying to show real life information and practice everything to kids. But architecture is the perfect way to do it. So even after we study architecture, you have tons of chances, right? During my internship, I worked in archaeological diggings.
Oh,
Again,
cool.
it was like a site from 3,000 years ago, right? We were digging stuff. I went there for survey. But think about it, it's a very different thing. And next year, I went to very historical area. I worked on stone houses only. The next year, I worked in a furniture store. The really high-end furniture comes from Italy, and I learned something different. You have to learn and know a lot if you're an architect, but I think you need to specialize in something as well. It's to a point, it's really hard. You know this from the exams as well. It's so hard to know everything. That's why exams are so hard, you know? There's a
No
lot of
one,
different things to learn.
exactly. No one's going to know all of the information. That's why people who go into the exams thinking they can just use their real world experience, it's nearly impossible to have all of that knowledge in real world experience. It's tough. So, a couple questions. One is roughly what age groups do you do? And then the second one is, are all of these in-person teachings, or is this something that you will also do via Zoom or digital?
Both. We do both. Right now in Architect, we have a couple programs, and they actually all came up organically. I didn't just plan them from the beginning, but after COVID, our online classes became really popular, right? People are reach out to me, and actually Architect just turned into a real business during COVID time. So people learned, and actually it's not just online world, but it's open up, I think, people's mind as well. Oh, this is something different, because people had a chance to see and watch educational system, education system, because we had a chance to watch online classes and everything. So people were like, oh, I want to add something different to this. And online classes are going because I have a lot of students all over US right now, even from London and even in
Oh,
Korea.
wow.
You know, when they're starting another day, it's just very different. So I started some teacher training programs because I was in New York and I moved down to Miami 2 years ago. That's why I used to teach there at the public schools, after school programs. Once I moved down here, they had those openings, and I said, what if I train your teachers, then you teach it, so we can reach out more kids. So it became actually a really good thing. And I had I've reached out many schools like this. I trained the teachers, and I sent my design packages and provide them all these design kits. And then I explain basically. Sometimes now they're turning into a little video instructions, try to make it more like a little packages actually. So this is another thing, consultation to schools. And I have online in-person classes, sorry, online private classes. And also here in Miami studio, we have in-person classes as well.
That is so perfect. I was going to say that it would be awesome if there were packages that you could purchase that came with it. And I even think of, I think there's, it's called KiwiCo or something, that
Yes.
there's, yeah, those little packages, even for parents. Like if I could buy a little package that came with a fun video or something and then have the kids do that, it would be so fun. It's just, there's so many options. It's so fun to see all the different ways this is going because it is so critical.
Yeah, this is what I am recording right now, because also these design kits created itself during COVID time. I was letting them know, okay, we will need stick glue, scissors, that paper, and everything. And when you start the classes, 100% something is missing. So it's very very normal because we are trying to do a lot of things. Then I said, okay, this has to be turned into a design kit because I also have template, like this kind of like a rulers and brick, keep think edit on it. So I created those design kits, little boxes or like sometimes bags, send them home, they open it up. And every week we open a new package, start a new journey. And then these kids, like while demand is too much, like making in-person classes, it start getting like it's not convenient anymore for me, for them too. And then I recorded those videos right now. I'm gonna put them up. They will order just one design kit, open up a video, and they can do it whenever they want. Also, time difference is a lot, you know, so they can reach out to from Europe and wherever they want and whenever they have time. And yeah.
I love that.
This
That's
will be
so
on the
fun.
website as well soon.
Good. Well, I'll link all that stuff too below so that if anyone is even local in Miami or anywhere wants to check it out, definitely check it out. That's so exciting. So, are you also working in an architecture firm or is this your primary job now?
Yes, my last job was I was a contractor, like a consultant at Amazon, and I worked there like a warehouses. It was a really different experience for me. It's not like residential. They have their own system. I work with really awesome people. So I founded my own consultation company for 2 years. Now I do my also like because I need to be a professional architect to do these things on the, you know, side as well. It's my biggest inspiration and or like trying to still get my exams and learn those like books I was telling you before podcast as well. Like whenever I read something for my exams, it gives me inspiration, like how, you know, bridges were compression, like attention and all this stuff. Oh, like let me write this, you know, lesson for this. It's a great idea. So like whenever I see last year I designed a little village from containers. Of course that became like a subject for me right away. So we designed these little containers and work on them, scale, proportion, all these like different stuff. So whatever I do in my professional life, they became like subjects. How to design a ramp, for example. Like designing a ramp is a one of the most important thing in our life, right? Like designing all these like calculating slopes, and it's one of the subjects in our exam. But you can spend actually good 3 hours with a kid just designing a ramp, and they can learn a lot from that. And I can learn a lot from that too. Like lending, like to design a code compliant ramp. It's a one subject for my classes. We are basically designing a code compliant ramp. So I never like forget information that way too. That's why I love your book. Like latest one, I love it so much.
Thank you. Yeah, well, and that was the whole point behind it too, is how can we take complex concepts? It's like dissecting them into what the root is. How can we take this and remember it, but in a very simplistic way and through play? And that's what you've done is taken this idea of play, because when our brain is happy and it doesn't feel like we're working or overworking, we're able to actually retain that information easier, which is so great. And it's for you going through your exams and then being able to use that as content for your programs. It probably makes the process a little bit longer, but it's better because one, you're retaining it more because you're putting together those tactical ways of learning it. Plus, now it's your business. So it's increasing and making your business even more beneficial. Love
Yeah,
it.
absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So where is your next path? So you're working on your exams. Are you still working towards them, or are they on hold right now?
Yes, I do. I just take my time with it. I know this is one of our, oh, I don't have time for this, but like I know myself, I need some time to digest all the information and everything. Of course I do. And as a foreign architect, you know, we have a path to just to pass before with our internship and everything. And I finished everything in New York. With that, I had like now 10 years good experience. In Miami here, things are really different. And in New York, for example, we file only one department, New York Building Department, and they're responsible for everything. And here, every city has their own rules. So it took a little bit time for me to adjust to that system. And we have a lot of like little projects that I'm taking care of right now. Also, I like to be on like short-term projects and learn more stuff. Now, again, like I think it's a really important thing. I'm telling my college kids too, because I have a couple students that I worked with 6 years, and now they're in college.
Oh,
and
wow.
studying architecture. And I'm telling them, listen, like if you go to your first internship and if you're unhappy for anything, don't tell them what did I do, because you may find your like dream job maybe on like a 10th try. You never know, because there's a lot of options in architecture, and you have to try and try to find your just like a spot, you know, like where you are going to be really happy. So this is for me, like I don't like working one project for like years and years. I work for park departments in New York, you know, it's a public projects, and you take one project and spend like 4 years on it, but you have like a bunch of things together at the same time. So it's a different world. But right now, I really like enjoying having like a six sites at the same time. One restaurant, one, you know, apartment alteration, or like cafe, and then go learn all these different things and come teach their kid, like play with them. This whole thing is my job, because I think first goal was like, how am I going to be happy in this life with the job? So I was so afraid of like working and being unhappy. That was my first thing. How am I going to enjoy and make money and have fun in this life? And that was my priority for like last 20 years, I think. I was just like, again, like your goals are very important. What you want from life is very important. So as an architect, I think we are lucky because we have a lot of things to choose on this field.
Yeah, you don't get stuck as just being a neurologist or something, you know? Like, I mean, like what I do now, I never would have thought I would have been doing this, but it's the pathway that I took, that trying different things, realizing what I love. And I will say that the path wasn't easy, just because I felt like there was a picture in my head of what the ideal architect pathway was. And then when I started veering away from that, it was a little scary. And it took work of just figuring it out and being okay with that. And same like you, it's what's going to make me the most happy. It's not necessarily this idea of what an architect should be or should look like. It's what I make it. And it's, again, a journey, but it is so beneficial. And the same goes for the exams, where so many people feel like they have to finish within a certain amount of time or get done as quickly as possible. But like you're saying, you're in the journey now, and there's not really a rush because you're enjoying the work you're doing and you're going about them in a way that is most beneficial for your happiness, your sanity, and your business, because it's helping develop your business too. So it is actually a better pathway for you to be going this route than, say, cramming and trying to take all the exams in a month. Yeah. And I would think people need to remember that it's not just about finishing. It's about what is most ideal for the day to day.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. And also, what I like about architecture, you are free. Like, wherever you go in the world, you're an architect and you can work independently with someone, but it's just like a pen in your hand and you can just do it everywhere. My biggest challenge when I came to US was like dealing with inches, feet, you know, because in Europe, it's just like centimeters and all that stuff. But I like that freedom. Like, wherever you go, really, you can use that talent and make money, be free. And I like when we decided to move down to Miami here, again, it was a life decision, right? What do you really want? Like, okay, there now I have one street between me and ocean. And after I take Maya from school, we just take a walk from ocean. And this is like February now, and I can just have like a t-shirt, and probably there's a bunch of people there, while like some places in the world was like freezing. But again, this is a choice. And when people look from like outside, they're like, oh, you're very lucky, you know, but pay, like you basically pay for it. Like it's a choice. And I did a lot to, you know, achieve that goal. And of course, like I didn't show this like every week. Hey, I did this, this is, that's why like I think we need to share a little more. That's why I would love to share what I did with the people a little much more, because like now I got a lot of questions and people want to change their life, but they don't know where to start. And I'm like, listen, I don't know where I started. I just started. And I, if you think I don't struggle a lot, like no, like, and after a while from those like struggle, you don't even feel it, you know, because you're just like on that loop and you can't even stop. So the first 3 years I came to New York, I just don't even remember, didn't even remember what was my days. And I slept for probably 4 hours for like 2 years straight, because I had to do a lot of things at the same time. So now I think it's very important where I am in my life, what I want and what I'm missing. Like, hey, I like they're, oh, you should just get your license right away. I'm like, right away for what? Like what? What's right away? Like, I have my own time and I know it. So I think it's very important to know your time as well. So then you don't feel like, oh, I'm missing things, because I felt that way for years, that like thinking I'm missing stuff. And no, it's just not the time yet when it's
Yeah.
gonna come. So
I
when you
love
see it
that.
from life, yeah, you have that confidence. And when something's not like, let's say something doesn't happen and like, or I miss something, I failed from an exam. Now I just say like, okay, that's not the time yet. So
Yeah.
then you're just moving.
Yeah. And it's that resiliency and that mindset that keeps you motivated and continuing on, and also prevents you from giving up. Because
Yeah.
if you go about that, then it's not a big blow. It's not a big devastation. It's okay, well, something else is meant for me at this moment, and that's okay too. I love that. And I think you're the perfect person to ask for this. Lately, I've had quite a few people reach out to me that are either in high school or they're actually parents of people in high school who are interested in going into architecture. And I think often the traditional low pay can steer people away, but as you know, I'm a big advocate of people, if this is their passion, going into it. Like we've said this whole time, is because it's so multifaceted, and you just like anything, there's potential to not make a lot of money, or there's potential to make a lot of money, but also money's not the only thing. You know, if money is your only outlook, you can do something else, but there's just so much more to the world and happiness than money. But anyways, so for the people, say they're thinking about colleges and they're in high school and they're interested in architecture, do you have any advice for them?
I think it was 2 months ago. One of my students, 11 years old, like decided to quit like 2 years later, because he researched the architect salaries and he said, I'm not gonna be happy with this money, so I'm not gonna continue the classes anymore. I'm like, okay, but again, like my classes are like when they're kids, not too much about architecture. Again, like it's all about like learning, like you know, play and everything. But I have many kids also in high school. They learn SketchUp, 3D modeling, they turn them into real, like then they jump in the laser cutter, but there they understand. Understand, actually, I'm saying like forget about the money right now and focus on if you're gonna really like it or you're not gonna like it. And during that time, I'm also talking about the challenges. Like if you like, okay, you have to stay at the office sometimes till maybe like a morning. And I remember like I didn't go back to home for 3 days straight, you know, like, but when people think about it, they think it's a joke, but it's not. If you have a crazy deadline and stuff, this happens. I don't think any architect didn't spend a night at the office, you know, like we all do these things. When you start telling them again, a doctor does the same thing, and now they're like, if it's related with the money, and of course it's a different story, because now the young kids, they're asking like much more realistic questions. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't think about money at all. But again, once you really enjoy what you're doing and plus making money from it, you don't feel like you're working anymore. This is what I'm trying to explain them. Like if you keep focus on the money, I got really good job offers since I moved here, right? For construction management, and I could do like much, much more money like than what I'm doing right now. But again, it's a choice. It's a decision like about life. Do I really want to be on the like a car all day doing inspections? And the people does this, and I really respect, because this is what they like, what they choose. But at the end of the day, if they really complain that, oh, I don't see my kids, I you know, this, that, think about your decisions for the life, and this will be your decision. Same thing for the kids. In my country, it's really unfortunate that kids has to make a decision when they're 16, 17, because they need to go to a college exam. They got a score, and now they start choosing their colleges. They go study something, yeah, and then you have no choice to change this. At least US here, I work with a lot of architects who had a bachelor degree from art, like a math, because you have a chance to change your decision, still go to a like a master's and be an architect. I met with a lot of licensed architect who has a math background. So system allows you to change your path. Like it's really important. That's why I always trying to tell them like you can just pick that one, like, but what you said in the beginning, being consistent, like sometimes just focusing on something, just achieving one goal is really important instead of keep changing keep looking, because I think when you achieve one thing, you know yourself much better. I think I'm not gonna say anybody if don't focus on the money. It's really important. I'm not gonna skip that part, but I think focus on like what you really enjoy to do. It's the first part for me still.
Yeah, and also, you never know, like we've talked about, you could go into so many different aspects that aren't in a traditional salary calculator, you know? Like even what I'm doing now, it actually wasn't even a in existence back when I was in high school. So, you know,
Yeah, right.
like it just wasn't even a thing. So, you just never know what it's going to go into. So, passion comes first and what you're interested in comes first because then it can evolve into something else. You know, if it's, say, being a neurosurgeon because of the money, well, then you're actually physically going in somewhere performing surgery where I never go into an office. You know, I can work all over the world, but because I have flexibility. So, you have to determine what your passion is. But I will say too, you might not know your passion in high school. When I was 16 or 17, I didn't even, I barely wanted to go to college. I knew I was going to go to college, but I didn't know what I was going to do. I liked to design, but I didn't ever think about being an architect, which is funny because my great grandfather was an architect, but I didn't grow up really knowing much about that. And I didn't have that vocabulary. And my dad was a contractor. So it's kind of weird that I didn't have that. But so I went to undergrad for interior design because I was told, oh, you could do interior design. That's design. Okay. And very quickly, I think it was my first year or something, realized I hated shopping and really did not enjoy interior design and kind of panicked for a second, like, oh my gosh, I'm in school for this. But luckily, one of my professors was an architect. So I was able to learn a little bit more about that and realized, oh, that's what I love. Like, that's the type of stuff that I'm actually interested in. I love math. And then after I graduated, I went to just work for a while and really realized, okay, that's exactly what I want to do. So for me, yeah, I really didn't know until I was in my 20s of what I was going to do. And now I am a licensed architect, but I'm glad that I didn't have to make that decision when I was even 18 because I really didn't have any idea. So there's possibility, even if you, I had someone who was 13 recently reach out feeling like she was already behind. I'm like, you girl, I was going to the beach when I was 13. I was not thinking about being behind or thinking of what I
Yeah.
needed to do for college. So, yeah.
Because there's like a huge competition now. They feel that way. I always trying to explain my daughter, like, okay, there's nothing wrong just reading things 10 times, then learn it. Like, because everybody learns differently, and we have the speed is different. I was saying, like, listen, I was that way too. I had to read things like many times, a couple times, and there's nothing wrong with this. But once you learn, that's fine. It's just like, when they're young as kids, they believe something, and it's just too hard to just change it sometimes. And I'm just trying to tell people, like anybody, you can change anything. Like, if something is not going really well in your life, okay, maybe you spent 20 years on that occupation and life changed right now. I think like many people have like, okay, I'm gonna make a career change, and life really kind of like let it happen right now. It's not like my mom's and dad's time. Like, I believe it's different. And I'm saying, look at what I'm doing. Like, I created basically a job from my hobby, and like, this is a job for me right now. This is my full-time job, and I am making money, still having my like enjoying, and like, I never stop anything doing, because when people do, you do a good job, whatever you do, they believe you, and they actually send their kids to spend time with me. This is really important with, and I spent not like only 1 hour, I spent like years with the kids. I have like kids that I spent 6 years together in that journey, because once they learn, this is not about just architecture. We just talk about everything. And the job, if I really upset about somebody, right? Like their behavior, because this happens, mobbing, right? And or somebody get your idea and then present it. This kind of things happens at school too, bullying going on. And we share a lot of things during those classes and decide, like, do you know why I'm upset? They just start talking. And you know what Carla did to me today? It turned into another session than architecture. And I'm like, you know what? That's it. And then you just keep talking. So yes, and I still believe that you don't have to really continue doing things just to finish it. If you don't feel you belong to that, it can be changed.
Yeah.
And I believe that I did it, and that's why it can be happened.
Yeah, I think it's about play. I think that's what both of us have incorporated into our journey is bringing back play, and especially for young aspiring architects, incorporate play into it. And if it's fun and it's something you enjoy, then that's what matters. And for people taking the exams or people who are early in the career trying to figure it out, play. So what that could look like is if you hate your job right now, play with, I don't know, an internship. I know that that's like who has the time for that, or not even an internship, but maybe a committee or a volunteer thing. Like use that as an opportunity just to explore and play and bring back some sort of fun, because the idea that we just have to be miserable and work all day and then go to sleep is not the way to live life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's again, I'm always saying, okay, I don't like math. Why? Because I never liked my math teacher. So like one thing in our life, just 1 second, 2 second, make us decide about something and it never changed. So once you start thinking, like when you start seeing from you another perspective, like, and I start asking you questions, why you didn't like this job? Like maybe you just didn't like your boss. Maybe you just like didn't like your desk and like anything. It's too much to say like I didn't like architecture. I don't like architecture anymore. It's just too much. Like there's a lot of different things to do.
Yes, you were saying, yeah, find a way to be happy and explore and see what it is that is making you unhappy so that you can hopefully make some shifts. Well, this was amazing. I know it was so inspiring for even I want to go and see if I can get one of your kits for my daughter, even though I don't know if you have them specifically for parents, but I needed to reach out to her school and see if they can put together your kit for their school. So we'll talk about that later. But thank you so much for being here and inspiring all the next generation of architects. And I will leave your information in the link below so that if anyone wants to reach out, or maybe someone is in high school or wanting to go into architecture, they could reach out to you. So, where's the best place for someone like that to reach you? Is it your website or Instagram or?
Our websites, they can just call us right, directly, or send an email from info@architect.com.
Okay.
They can, yeah, do that too. Also, I want to add just one little thing. We
Please.
talk about like being happy a lot, and this is again one thing I keep saying my daughter as well. This is not life. You can't be happy all the time. Sometimes you have to just do things like our exams, they're so hard. And when you're working, like if you have to do something, you're just gonna do it. People are like, especially the kids, high school kids, they keep asking, how am I gonna be like happy with my job? And like I think they should also know that like there's gonna be days that you don't feel happy about your job. Like this is the reality. I think because of the parents or like us, we are doing something wrong, try to make them believe they should be happy all the time. So this is another time, like this one reality about my life, getting ready for my license exams. Like it doesn't matter if I don't feel happy when I'm working, studying. This is something I should do. So
Yeah, no, it's
thank
such
you
a
very
good point.
much.
Well, I just want to, before we end off, I completely agree. And life is about opposites. So if we didn't have struggle or unhappiness, we wouldn't feel the happiness. If everything was happy all the time, it would be, how do you even quantify the happiness if you don't have something to show that? So I agree. And internet, I think people are more apt to show the struggle these days, but still, I don't show the days where I'm having a really hard parenting day and my husband comes home and I'm just irritated and we argue and then I'm trying to finish up work, but then the kids are screaming at me. I don't show that side because I don't even have time to show. How do I even show that when I'm like in it, you
Probably
know?
it's gonna get more likes if you share
Yeah, I
that
don't even.
part.
Am I supposed to be going around with the thing as I'm getting mad and the kids saying, carry me, carry me? But
Right.
it's impossible to show every side of it. But it's so true that if you're looking for just continuous happiness, it's life, like you say. So I think that was a really
Exactly.
good point to bring up that even if you struggle or you have stuff you don't want to do, it doesn't mean you're not meant to do it. It just is part of life.
Yeah, especially if you run your own business, you don't have time to just sit down and like be like, you just keep going. That's another. It looks cute when you look from outside. I was like, oh, that's not really. But then it's a business at the end, and yeah, life is this. You just keep going. And thank you so much, Brian.
Yes,
Thanks a lot for your mind.
of course. I appreciate you being on here. And everyone, go check out Architect, and I'll leave the link. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.